have them reviewing the plan and the draft budget in May and forwarding a recommendation to you in early June, so that their recommendations could be factored in your decision making. What we also talked about was the need, and this is called for in the strategic plan, essentially hold a community meeting once a year and to hear back from stakeholders and the community as a whole, as to basically how we're doing, and specifically how we're doing in terms of our policy approach and implementing that policy. We suggested to them that we would get basically a draft staff evaluation about how we think we're doing in terms of implementing the plan to them in the third or fourth week of February, and that we would look to hold a public meeting sometime in March. We, at the time, were thinking that we might have, we might reconvene the PSAC as early as March, but I think staff at this point is thinking that it would be better to hold off until May to reconvene them when we have a draft budget, so that they can provide some feedback on that as well, with a report and recommendation to you in early June that would address basically how we're doing in terms of consistency and implementation of the plan, whether or not the plan requires any amendments, or whether it's good as it is, and third, whether they have any particular concerns or recommendations concerning the board's draft budget for 2013, actually the 2014 budget. In addition, we're concerned at a staff level, and I think the PSAC members are too, that that we have at least three folks who have not been in attendance at either meeting, and we need to make sure that we have a dedicated, reliable group of people who are going to show up when necessary, for the few times a year when they're required. The folks, and I, you know, I don't want to, there's no negativity in this. We're not trying to cast blame, but just simply we have not succeeded in having Dave Carruthers, who represents Port Retail Tenants, the District 3 representative, Joe Beisch, nor Keith Marzan, who's the representative of Boat Ramp Users, not succeeded in turning them out to the meetings. And I think staff are proposing that we identify some new candidates to replace those folks, so that we can make sure that we get a solid five or six at every meeting. So the name, I don't know if you recall this, but the resolution that you adopted in March of last year that established the committee requires that the representatives of these stakeholder groups be approved by a majority vote of the commission. However, the representatives of the individual commissioner districts are simply served at the pleasure of the commissioner of each district. So in other words, it would be within the purview of ULEAF to simply nominate or appoint somebody to the committee. Jim and I, in sort of a brief sidebar conversation after the second meeting in December, had occasion to run into Joanne Busa, and just in casual conversation, she expressed an interest and willingness to serve if you felt she was an appropriate candidate for the position. But with the other two positions, both Mr. Carruthers and Marzan, that would require appointment and confirmation by a majority vote of the commission.
Just so the other two commissioners know, Dave, your representative for District 2 is Ted Pike.
Right.
And yours is David Hero from District 1. So,
and this is the lady from Brennan?
Yes.
Do you have to say?
I would, especially since you've spoken with her and she's agreed that she would be interested in performing that duty, I would certainly be in favor of that.
Okay. Do you know her personally?
I probably do, but not by name. I probably, when I see her, I probably have been to meetings with her and so forth.
Yeah. She's really involved. I think she served on the board of the Historical Society for, gosh, probably more than a decade now.
She's a really dedicated.
Yeah, real dedicated citizen volunteer. So.
I also had the opportunity to speak with Bill Kurtzinger yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would be happy to represent for retail. Bill Kurtzinger is Sue Olson's husband from Sunrise Coffee, if you don't know him.
Oh.
And businessman, pretty straightforward guy, and I think he'd be a good addition to the committee too if you so want to replace Mr. Carruthers with Mr. Kurtzinger.
Yeah, real common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
unemotional.
Do we need to make a motion to approve him?
We can't.
We can. We'll do that in the regular meeting.
We can add that to the agenda.
And he's already said he'd like to do it. Then, yeah. Right? Well, that's great because those two guys that didn't come were recruited by me, perhaps not as enthusiastically.
Bill got a little bit of an eye-opening experience when he watched us go through our efforts with the city to allow them to move the coffee operation into a bigger location and all the things that, you know, something that is so mundane,
right,
you know, is not easy.
Yeah.
So.
But we do need a representative for the small boat trailer.
Yeah.
So we need to come up with someone who wants to serve.
Yeah, I'll find some. I thought that Keith would wanted to because he came up without me asking him to some other boat ramp related things, and so I figured it'd be good, but I have a whole cadre of people I can ask, and I'm sure I can find one that would be happy to do it. So I'll do that this week.
Now, one final point with regard to appointments. Tony Petrillo has turned out, and I think it's clear that he's going to be a really good member of the committee. He was appointed, though, for only a one-year term, and he was appointed in March, so his term actually ends in March. So I think you may want to give some thought also to just re-upping his appointment. Once that happens, after this initial term, they're all on the hook for four-year terms, I believe. So he would be serving then through 17.
If he's amenable to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, again, their concern is that they not be roped into a committee that's going to be at a meeting, you know, ad infinitum. If it's limited to this process where they're called in the spring when the budget is prepared and they're reviewing how we're doing, what the plan looks like and what the budget looks like and wrapping it up in a couple of meetings, I think they're on board with that. But if we're talking about, you know, 8-12 meetings a year, I think we'd lose them.
Yeah, and I think that the budget review would make it a more meaningful situation by far. And as a commissioner, I would welcome their participation in that process, which is although very important, it's rather dull.
So many numbers.
Yeah.
Amy's insulted.
But if you remember back when we did the strategic plan, that was really the primary focus, was to get, you know, further input from the public and tenants and all that stakeholders early in the budget process.
Yeah, because amazingly enough, no one seems overly concerned. And the group that is willing to hold our feet to the fire on the strategic plan, probably one of your most concerned groups that would help us address the budgetary process.
Just the general sense, does the commission, I don't think we need to bring this up in the meeting this afternoon, but the kind of the time frame that we've outlined here, we're suggesting that we do kind of this self-evaluation and get it to them in February with the public meeting in March, and then bringing them together perhaps in late April or May to, once we have a draft budget, to May. I'm sensing May.
The 14th?
One of the things, the definitions of public meetings you should be aware of, one of the things that the committee suggested is us getting a meeting outside of the commission meeting arena, where the commissioners aren't sitting up at a head table where the public can speak freely. And we recalled the charrette, I hate the word charrette, we had one about, well, we had one about Point Hudson, and we had one in our comp scheme at the Yacht Club, where we just took over the Yacht Club, invited the public to come, and we would have all the people, all the members of the PSAC there to hear their concerns. So it wouldn't be really addressing the commission, it would be addressing the members of PSAC so that they can take their recommendation to you. So we're envisioning the same thing, where we'd have refreshments at the Yacht Club, invite the public to ask in the newspaper, see who shows.
I mean, we're not going to be sitting on a raised dais or anything.
No. Sorry. Do we even want to be there?
You can be there, but again, it's amazing how many public are intimidated by being in this environment. So we want to make sure the environment is not intimidating.
Well, that came back clearly from the first meeting of the PSAC, most recent meeting, but they were intimidated just by the staff being there.
Yeah, they didn't want us there either.
Right. So that has been brought to my attention. And I know that some organizational efforts like that, they forbade electeds from showing up, you know, which you know, you couldn't have a much more understanding bunch of electeds.
I know.
You know, but
I think we're lucky. We have Ted Pike and Scott Erickson have agreed to co-chair this committee.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we allow those to determine how that...
I think that would be useful.
Chris, mm-hmm. I'm just recollecting our session at the Yacht Club on our comp scheme. We had all of the different stations set up to talk about the airport and cool scene and boat ramps and Boat Haven and Point Hudson. And the only interest was in the Kansai. Not a single question was asked about any other facility. We had about 50 people show up.
Well, I think those guys are out of the loop at this point.
I'm just wondering if, I would predict, we won't get much feedback in general, but that's fine.
That seems to be the trend. I mean, a lot of the meetings that we do go to, community meetings put on by whomever, the biggest attendance is staff and electeds.
Yeah.
Community meeting we had in Quilcene, that was a...
That was a barn burner.
That was a little different focus, though. That was,
You drove that very effectively.
You lobbed a couple of grenades over the fence, and that got everybody's attention.
Yeah, that really brought them out from under the wet board.
Yeah.
So I think it's not bad if we don't have a lot of attendance. That means that things are going, a lot of people
are. The important thing is we made the effort.
Yeah, we're making the effort, and it's probably a vote really of confidence by them saying, well, we're doing a good job. We don't need to go in there and get our noses in it. So I don't see having a lack of attendance as being a failure on any part, really.
Actually, you say that it's success.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Steve Fort Worden.
Allison Alderman had indicated the willingness to talk to us about this Discover Pass thing at some point, but she didn't say she was gone for a long time. Now she's back, and since she's back, a lot of other stuff is going on, but we still have an invitation to speak with Allison, but I'm not sure.
Who is she? She's the one that's leaving.
Park manager, yeah. So anyway, the thrust is that they wanted to talk to us about it, but she was gone, then she's leaving, now we have a new thing happening with the Friends, and so it's such a dynamic, moving thing that I think that we should get in and speak with her to let her know what our concerns are, in addition to the people that you've drafted that letter to in Olympia.
Does it say when she's actually leaving the article?
January the 4th? No, it couldn't be.
Well, that's, we missed that one.
No, she was there yesterday.
I don't see anything that says when she's leaving.
Why don't we, why don't you call over the park headquarters and see if we can get something for next week.
a meeting.
Yeah. Do you want to go to see?
Thanks, I'm more than
And at that time, we would ask for the answer to the questions in our letter.
Well, would, you know, raise our concern. I'll bet you she doesn't really understand what we own over there and that sort of thing. And we can take a map with us. You know, I doubt we'll get anything out of her because she's not the approving authority to allow that sort of thing. It's probably going to have to go all the way back to park headquarters.
Right. But I think we should probably start the dialogue and so that she can say to the incoming replacement, by the way, we're talking with the board about this.
And I imagine they'll probably appoint some interim person. All right.
Then moving on, review of rules and regulations.
Now, we've been talking about this for some time, and what I the rules and regs are on the website. I don't know if you download it or I annotate it. Mm-hmm. I've got hard copies here for anybody that wants them.
I was handing around the back one week, so we didn't have to see it.
Yeah, it's what I'd like to have is just a discussion on how you want to go about this. I would expect this is probably going to take us some number of months. I wouldn't be surprised if it takes us till June or so. You know, to go through this. If you remember back after a year of our strategic plan, we went back and every workshop, month after month, we just took a chapter and kind of reviewed it and see how we're doing and that sort of thing. So maybe that's one way to approach this. It's not really, I don't, you know, having gone through this again, I don't like the way it's organized. It's kind of just starts with number one and goes through 100 or something with some extra forms like BMPs added in and that sort of thing.
Right.
I think there's a better way of, and it says Port Townsend Boat Haven. Well, it's not just Boat Haven, it's Port Ramps and Point Hudson and all sorts of things. So it might be a better way to organize it, but I'd like to hear from the commission how you would like to approach it. Would you like us to go through the whole thing and make a first stab at it, then start going through it? Or do you want to go through early on and say, here are 10 areas that I want changed, or, you know, your ideas on how to organize it?
Well, why don't we all go through it and then throw our ideas in a pile and see what
shakes out. Yeah.
And then just pick it apart piece by piece.
Yeah. So just start at page one at the next workshop or something. And,
well, or if we look through it and we have some ideas to reorganize it, then let's throw those in the mix in the review.
All right.
And then just spend a given a period of time on it at each commission meeting. One footnote on this document that if you look at the documents that we receive in either email or Dropbox or get off the website, and you go to an agenda document and you try to annotate it, okay, you get a little message that says there's no selectable text in this document, which renders the iAnnotate program relatively useless. Now, I addressed this with you and Sue earlier last week. Has there been any resolution to this?
It's obviously the format of the document.
Well, these are all PDFs. Yeah. You can't change a PDF. We'd have to store them as Word documents for you today.
That is not necessarily true.
Really?
Because the rules document also is PDF. Now, it's when you go to the rules document.
You mean this document?
Yes, that document you have in your hand. It is what you would call a text searchable PDF document. There's more than one kind of PDF. So. After my conversation with you, Larry, last week, there was no further research done into this?
It could be, I think I know, could be the reason is you scan the agenda, right? The scanner does a different PDF. The rules and regulations were put on there
on the website
with Adobe. They were converted. So I think you're going to need to convert those. We should try it anyway.
Perhaps would there be a setting on the machine to do that function?
On our copier and scans?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I would certainly wish that that issue be resolved.
Let's do some research. I was We have Adobe, and we can save that in Adobe if that works. So let's try it.
But you're good with the rule document. You've already got that.
The reason I'm even bringing this up is this search tool available in the SciAnnotate is extremely powerful, especially when you've got a document of this girth,
right?
You know, because you can search on words, you can of course annotate it, you can make indexes. It's an extremely powerful tool, which as long as we have the capability to have it at our command, I would really like to use it.
And on that same note, I think that this might be something that perhaps Berryhill, Dave Olson, would be useful in helping us get this thing in the correct format so that it can be done this. And we also have some other work forms, so I don't know how we get him in. For example, the calendars that Sue makes are very useful, but they're not available on our iPads in the form that's useful. So just getting those two things to talk to each other accurately would be a useful thing that I know that we know enough in here about computers to know that's possible. We just don't know how to pull the levers to make it actually happen. And I think that Dave might be useful to help us with perhaps the problem you have and the one with the calendars too. Because like I said, the calendar's already there and it's made. It's just not to pull up the ball on here.
Yeah, I wonder is your calendar on your iPad?
My private calendar?
Yeah, I was thinking the Outlook calendar was on your iPad, but that's funny.
There's a calendar on here. I don't put my schedule on it.
Right.
There's one.
I don't plan on putting my schedule on.
There's one that Sue has that's already made that would be really useful for, so that you wouldn't have to add things and get duplicates and so forth. And
I don't want another calendar.
And then I'd like another calendar.
Yeah,
and then I'd be able to look and see, for example, when people are gone on vacation or if they're to a meeting someplace that they're at that meeting that I should ask them a question about when they get back. So that's why it'd be nice, since the calendar's already there, if I could be able to see it and have that information.
Which is funny because we have our Outlook email on this, but not the calendar.
In my calendar on here.
Yeah, it's available. We just have to have Dave help us pull the levers to make it get more functional.
Well, that's what we'll do then. We'll just plan to, probably all of us should do a little homework, just kind of and start highlighting those areas. Just the other day, and one of the one of the topics we'll be talking about here, new board agreements, that caused Eric Truck and I, because Truck was in on the conversation a few days ago, suddenly our definition of commercial vote would have to be changed. So I can see there might be some things that will change suddenly.
Oh, there's tons of
something that will affect two or three other things. So it's going to be a back and forth as we go through it several times. So, all right, well, we've got it, and we'll start reviewing it. And you notice the last time it was formally adopted was almost 5 years ago.
Right.
So it'll be a good exercise, and then we'll populate our website with it and everything. So.
And then we come to the 2013 committee assignments.
All right, we do this every January, just kind of run through it, see what committees we want to participate in as a board, and who wants to be the primary rep. Sometimes you know, something and realize it's not much of a committee, or you don't really care for it, in which case we can swap around, that sort of thing. One of the things I'd like to see this year, if we can do it, is formally adopt it once we agree. We can either do that this afternoon or put on the next agenda also. And these will be the things that, from a finance standpoint, you know, we'll reimburse everybody for attending and that sort of thing. That's not to say it might not be something that comes up during the year that obviously the port has a stake in it that, you know, one of us needs to go to, and obviously we'll reimburse for that. And I think, Steve, one of the things that's about halfway down on page one of the energy lunch meeting, I don't know if that's really the right term for that.
That's what they call it.
Actually, it's Jefferson County Energy Lunch meeting.
Yeah. I guess what turns me off a little bit is the word lunch.
Yeah, because it has nothing to do with lunch. You got to bring your own.
Yeah, well, it's a lunch time so that people can go there.
You have a CEO breakfast. You got something
else?
Yeah.
We added the word.
Yeah, but anyway, it, yeah, we did get a request, you know, from the Goldstein.
Oh, Rick Van Auken?
Auken. Asking if the port would want to be a sponsor of that to the tune of $1,000. And that's something that, even though $1,000 was in within my purview dollar wise, I think the commission should make that decision. If it's you know, something that the port, you know, is benefiting from, you know, and we're getting some sort of tangible benefit from it, that sort of thing. So if you wanted to start at the top and we can work down through, I think the boat ramp exploration committee, is that really needed anymore?
I don't think the committee is moving forward with that.
So I'll delete that.
Yeah, the CEO breakfast is still active. I just got an email. Next meeting will be next Thursday. And that's mine, and I'll continue with that. Climate Action Committees, has there been any activity lately? I know it's still an active committee, and I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just a quarterly committee, and I had to miss the last meeting because we were in our WPPA conference. So that means that's a huge amount of information that I didn't get to do. So the city is still going on with it. I don't know how much, if they're going to have it go away because of lack of funding. It doesn't seem to be. And actually, they're getting more people involved. So it's something that I think is important, and how it affects the port as well. I guess Eric's going to talk to us about it a little bit later. Sea level rise is affecting a lot of things.
Oh, weren't you, Eric, asked to be in on this now or something?
I don't think so. I think I'm an alternate.
An alternate?
I was just going to add that I think there's been some discussion about, there's an individual who has approached the city who has the credentials in the background to help the city and county prepare an adaptation plan, climate adaptation plan, and so you know, just because there hasn't been necessarily a whole lot of work for the committee in recent months doesn't necessarily mean that they won't be tasked again in the near future.
Well, they haven't. Ever since they finished developing the plan, there really hasn't been any thing for the committee really to sink their teeth into. Yeah. A lot of people have wandered off, I think.
Well, actually, one of those who wandered off just wandered back. Case Kauf came back again.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's there. And I think that now that they've got the way I understand it, now that they've got the goal set to lower it by X amount, now is the time to figure out how we can actually achieve that lowering. And
lower what?
Amount of carbon emissions. And one of the things that is a shining example of a way that can actually do it is the project we have at the airport. That's a good example of things that you can do in the local community that help, even though.
The only issue I have is the same one. Eric and I have discussed this many times. I think the goals are unattainable. That's just my own personal opinion. They want to reach, 50% less than the 2005 levels? You know, if we all stopped driving our cars today and never drove it again, you still wouldn't come anywhere near that. So, but you don't set the mark high enough, you won't get any.
Yeah, and it may be that as they continue on, they might discover that that goal is unattainable and they find a lower target to shoot for. But at least it might get something started, which then may cascade into something bigger. So,
am I hearing that Eric is the alternate or Larry?
Well, I was the primary and went through the initial phase, but you're on something else. You want to be the alternate? Eric's the alternate on this one.
I thought Steve was the primary this year.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Steve's the primary.
Eric's the alternate.
Right.
Into the Valley of the Shadow.
Into the Valley. Roll the 600. Chamber of Commerce, no-brainer. Northwood Canal Chamber, what
do you? I could probably start attending, but
do they have to be?
I kind of broke it off because there was a little bit of discord in that organization.
Yeah, sure, yeah. All right, we'll just leave that one going. What the heck is a collective vision?
I think you're over in the wine cellar.
Oh, right.
The way.
Oh, and that thing.
And Edwards, you're
done, out of here?
Yeah.
I'll still probably go to it, but it's, they've met twice. This is where it's...
What is it?
The YMCA, of all entities, started this. I went to the first session, but it was a WPPA conference for the second one. It's over here at Ed Edwards' house, the new big fancy back of Sea Marine, where he's got a room a little bit bigger, about the size of this, where YMCA gathered. It was Timmons, Morley, myself, school superintendent, hospital administrator, all the same players that are at the CEO breakfast, essentially, plus a few extras. And we just sat around eating some nice pastries, talking about what we would like the community to become someday. And I had a second session, which I wasn't there, so I don't know if we became anything.
You guys talk about adult entertainment at all?
It was wide open. All that topic didn't
come up.
Should
I put that on there, though?
No, if they invite me, it's such a, it's not a regular scheduled thing, and it's kind of a, you know, it's not like the Climate Action Committee or the CEO breakfast, which is kind of a formal, you know, committee. So let's take it off this one. East Jefferson Underground Coordinating Council, I guess that's still in existence.
My landlord got the Golden Shovel Award from those guys.
Good. And Ozzy is our underground guy, so. And Dave Thompson's favorite one, the Watershed Council, is that still
I haven't gotten as many emails from that outfit.
I don't see, Zawa's got the emails, and fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
That was Blackmore, was her name?
Laura Blackmore.
It's another example of a committee that served its purpose, but then it wants to stay in existence, even though the initial...
Yeah, they're searching for funding.
So should I leave that on there? Or?
Maybe one more.
Yeah, let's leave it on for now and make an assessment if they're really...
How about the next one down?
Well, that's a sub-committee of that. Yeah, and I haven't been to one of those for 8 years.
Strike it.
And I would think that would be a good, you know, if we haven't attended it for a year, then I'll probably have to go off the list. The energy lunch.
Yeah, I'll continue to be the, actually I've been going there. It's blank, but I've been going every month. And I'm actually involved in the group that are putting it together and scheduling things and having the Friday morning conference call. And it's something I think is a really important thing. It's of all of these committees that I've been going to, it's the one that actually gets stuff done, that things actually occur out of this. For example, we had Steve Theringer come by and talk about the legislation that he's going through, and we had a huge conversation afterwards about, and we had a lot of like public officials were there. And we've had like the Alaska Power and Telephone is doing an ammonia study that makes me realize it's a few years down the road, but they're actually doing it. They got a $1 million grant and they're studying it. And they're going to actually utilize it for power transfer. And that's something that's like hatched right here in Jefferson County. And the study's being done in Alaska where the resources are, where the hydropower is, but Bob Grimm's doing it here. And there's a Bonneville Energy Initiative that's got $100,000 that could go up to $200,000 for a study for high school students. So it'd be a big benefit to the high school financially to get the study, to study whether or not there's sufficient wind resources around here, which there probably are not in Port Townsend City, but finding that out by a high school science class is a really valuable science tool for teaching kids that the science is real. It's not just something you study and go home and forget about.
What's the tangible benefits of the port, though? What do we tell the auditor? She says, why would we give $1,000 to this group?
And then the tangible benefit to the port is that we get, there's a website that has the port as a sponsor, plus the port is able to schedule speakers that they might find beneficial to the port or to get port's words out that have, for example, we could give a talk. In fact, I think it'd be a useful talk to discuss the solar panels down at the airport. We have the first fully self-supported airport electrically, and we have an eco park that could benefit from some things that we could do for energy, whatever we determine, you know. And we also have an opportunity at each one of these energy lunches to say things. You know, if you wanted to say, Port is doing XYZ, you have an opportunity to address a group of people that's usually about 25, 30 at these energy lunches. So you get public exposure. You get, in the form of advertising, public exposure is to be able to get your message out if you have one to give, and plus you're doing things that the community could find useful in terms of locally produced and supported energy. Our local business. But it was a power trip, I believe, that installed that.
Doesn't knowledge of green energy alternatives and CO2 reducing technologies help us in our decision making here at the port?
Yeah, because we may have to think about, I'm not sure yet, we're still early, but we may have to think about putting our new building up on stilts.
Well, I think the argument we need to make is an economic development. I'll craft something up. You know, it's always nice that the high school kids are doing useful things and everything, but it's kind of like when the nonprofits come to us and want funding, it's got to translate to something that we do for a living, like economic development. I think we can translate this into that sort of thing. Let me work on that. I'll show the email to Amy with her background as a
auditor.
The black hat.
Black hat.
Yeah, evil people. Yeah.
Oh, black cat.
Black cat. And see what she thinks of it. That combined with the advertisement, giving us credit frequently,
every month,
sort of thing. Yeah. Right. So, all right. And the next one is still active. So, is that a monthly meeting, Steve?
Yeah. That's one that. It'd be easy to snooze through. But yes, it's an active monthly meeting.
Just go ahead and go to sleep.
I'd be sleeping next to me and Phil
or
sleeping
or send Dave to it.
What's that?
Or send Dave to it.
No, I like Dave.
Healthy Jefferson Steering Committee, have they had any meetings?
Have you gotten
no meetings for now.
Did that have something to do with Jefferson Hospital?
They published a report, seemed like early last year, and it seemed like I remember they were supposed to have a series of meetings, but they never happened or something.
Yeah, I haven't been notified of anything.
It had to do with low-income families and housing, and it was a whole combination of access to medical care and the impact it has on the community. And
should we leave that on there?
Well, we'll put an asterisk next to that one just to keep an eye on it.
So why don't you give whoever is in charge of that a buzz and see if I'm not getting notification of meetings that I should.
Yeah. And if they have a plan. You know,
oh, Patience Rogge.
No, she's the higher end. It'd be somebody up at the town. Food Canal Boarding Council, I would say that's an as needed. I used to go to that a lot when the Puget Sound Partnership was forming, because they used the Food Canal Council as one of their base off of operations, but it still raises its head every now and then. Built the manager steering committee. I don't know, were you going to meet again in the coming decade? It's up to the county, I guess.
That's when you got to keep those.
Yeah.
It's by charter of counties.
It's a GMA kind of a thing, so I guess that will be really frequency as called or something like that.
Yeah.
Same with coordinating council, guys.
The good news is there's not much growth to manage, so I imagine it ain't very often.
That whole operation got headed off in the wrong direction to start with.
Well, didn't they, since they got a 2-year reprieve on their comp plan?
Is that what killed that?
Yeah, they won't be meeting until they have something to review, which would be the new comp plan put down here, something like that. Solid waste, Terry and Tammy, I guess, are so good for that. Higher ed, I go to that every month. We've been hosting it for the last several months. John Collins used to be the one on that. Emergency planning. Actually, I want to put Terry down as alternate to some of those are pretty good meetings. Some not so good, but
is that monthly or as called?
It's, I'd almost say as called, because they don't seem to do it every month. It's, I think the original plan was to have it monthly, but like during the holidays, they skipped it and everything.
But you
stay
at primary?
I'll stay at primary, yeah. PIF, that's still a viable committee whenever.
Yeah, they won't have any money to sustain.
Don't have any money now.
A couple of years.
Won't you put as called on that one, too? This one.
Yeah,
technically it's still out there. Yeah, this was our effort. We remember with the city and trying to get the county to get something going. Technically, we never formally closed it down, but we also haven't met for.
There was a resolution that was adopted about a year, well, a little bit more than a year ago, indicating that we were to have a draft ready for adoption by the end of last year, which obviously didn't happen. I mean, the court can't do it alone. I mean, I think a lot of what has happened here is let the perfect be the enemy of the good, and we had a decent draft that has just been kind of languishing. More than a year now.
You think I should send a letter to the other participants saying, you know, with a recommendation that we just approve work completed to date and close it out? Or?
You know, again, most of the capital projects that were outlined in that, the port is undertaking in any event.
Right.
The policy guidance that was in the draft. I mean, maybe it's something that you want to take a look at and see whether it's it really affects the port directly. Again, I think it's something that would help the jurisdictions together, but we can't go it alone. And until the city and county are ready to, you know, step up.
I'll answer a question mark that one.
It's not a very good use of our time.
No, it's not a very good use of our time. And that's back when Michelle Sandoval did not.
Essentially allowed to go forward.
Well, she didn't include the marine trades in that document. Remember, she threw out all the documents concerning the marine trades?
Well, she didn't like any of the stuff that the EDC had done on the clusters,
real estate and that stuff.
Yeah.
So if we were to rejoin that effort, it would take a huge amount of modernizing and updating to reflect any kind of reality.
So it'd almost be start over again.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I think we should just let that one die on the vine.
So what you suggested, Larry, then, was to make a resolution that we just dissolve, and if you want to restart it again, start...
Well, this guy to bring it to either adopt the resolution that we had co-written with the other two governments, or let's close the door on this thing and declare failure and move on.
Well,
we have to declare failure. Can we just move on? And let
no, I
yeah, we wouldn't want somebody to set the record because then we'd have to rewrite it.
Rather than declare failure. It just makes me mad, you know, we put so much staff time into these efforts that they go nowhere. I mean,
well,
how many meetings did we have? You know, God.
Well, just, I mean, there's a stack of paperwork.
I know.
That thing.
And we did most of that. Eric did all that writing, just a little bit of help from Sepler and Al Scalp, who was on his way out the door, didn't
right.
participate. So.
Well, if you remember correctly, I was getting a little bit testy about the just the sheer burden of the paperwork that generated for a mission statement that didn't include us.
Well, we'll just let that one die then.
Should I leave it on there with the asterisk and the question mark?
Yeah, take it off. The MRC is still active. Steve's going to that with me as the alternate. The next two, the Boatyard Committee and the Marina Committee, are actively involved. RC&D, I still go to that, at least the alternate. They're still meeting. Not sure why.
They're going to meet for another year. They've got enough funds to keep staff for another year.
Yeah.
So they're going to meet for another year, and if some miracle of they can reach up into the clouds and pull some more funding out for staff. There's another really good example of a committee that's useful and has provided the port with resources to do our task.
Mm-hmm.
But a committee without staff isn't really,
all the electeds and managers don't have the time to actually run the committee. So.
No,
yeah.
No.
All right, we'll let that one keep going. The PCC, we're still, in fact, we just sent them our dues for this year. We got a lot of good information, especially just the email sharing of, you know, between marinas and that sort of thing. PDD, you're the president, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah. Safety committee, we have to have that, so we'll update that.
That's a quarter.
Right, I know that. I already have that down.
We'll have to make that 2013. And take Chuck off on that, since Chuck is going to leave us at the end of April.
Chuck Falls?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do?
Sail south, he said.
Oh, I'll be darned.
In search of warmth.
Need his notes.
Not officially.
Not
it
officially.
Was verbal, but
yeah.
It's pretty much.
He's been a pretty good employee, hasn't he?
Yeah. He's really good at it. Well, like the other day, we were talking about, you know, redoing the marina, the moorage agreements and stuff. He's a lot of experience. And, which reminds me on that letter about your boat ramp, the RV guy.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Chuck at some length yesterday, and I'm going to write a letter back. There is no policy. It was as I said, you know, as long as you can stay within your site, you're good. And I'd like to know who told them some of those things. But there's some other issues with boat ramp fisher types using our RV spaces that might want to be aware of.
Well, I think in rules and regulations we need to address that.
Yeah.
That is an issue.
The issue is a lot of these folks are notorious for booking a week in the RV park coming up here. Fishing isn't good, so they want a refund.
Well, that's,
well, that's not our fault. You can't catch a fish.
You don't get to
fish. You're stuck.
That's not what put it in his RV space. This was too big. He stuck out the back. The staff said he couldn't do that. wants to change that policy. It's going to be difficult. RV spots aren't that big to put a 24-foot boat and an RV in.
Yeah, if it'll fit, no problem.
Get a shorter RV.
Rent two spots or a smaller boat.
Or rent two spots.
Or rent two spots. Well, the other thing is where the RVer comes in, and then Buddy comes in and wants to park his boat on the same spot. You know, suddenly, you know.
It's a campground problem everywhere. So.
Not a huge problem, but it happens. Newsletter committee, I guess that's still good. Still want to be the newsletter person, Dave?
Yeah, you get drafted onto that by the newspaper Nazi.
Yeah. Is there a free trade association? Yeah, Leif, do you still go to the Marine Trade Association meetings, or do they meet monthly?
Well, I think that's here with you and Leif and Dave.
Oh, that's right. Well, we haven't met for a couple.
Yeah, I think they've reading their meeting minutes. I think they decided to use that only when needed. Okay. So unless we hear from them, I just don't think
they're going to have. Yeah, let's say as call.
So. Yeah.
So no meetings means they're happy too, huh?
I would assume.
Well, they're not the most organized bunch either. Yeah.
Well, Leif and I kind of told that, you know, this is for us to listen to you guys. You need to
participate.
You know, it needs to be a two-way, you know, tell us what you would like us to
address. You know, I'd be more than happy to reestablish that at any time if they come to the meeting with something to say. You know, Larry and I ended up drawing up the agenda and talking to them.
Right.
And they wouldn't have anything to say, so we'll just have to see how that goes. I would leave it on there.
Yeah, as called.
Same with mortgage tenants, it'd be as called. There still doesn't want to meet more than once every quarter, like you said.
That's a tacit approval.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Next one's still viable, the whole RPTO that Dave sits on, and I sit on the Technical Advisory Committee, which is a subset of that.
Where do you go to those meetings at?
Any of the four counties, Mason County, Pitsap County,
Clallam and Jefferson.
Yeah,
oh, so they just, they
work in every different county hosts.
Oh, okay.
The big meeting that Dave goes to, then the little meeting that I go to is usually down the library. Puget Sound Partnership, still a viable organization. We haven't gone to a lot this year. Why don't you just put as called or as needed.
So what do they do?
Well, that's that thing that Gregoire formed. If you remember Norm Dix's son.
Isn't the MRC part of that?
No.
No?
Totally separate. But Dix's son left after some state audit findings. And now the former Corps of Engineer Colonel is setting it up. Understand he may not belong to the world with Inslee coming in, but that's just rumor mill. But yeah, you know, they were charged with cleaning up Puget Sound by 2020, and they, you know, to be a little bit critical, they've created a bureaucracy. They get a budget of about $12 million to pay the bureaucracy that they've created. And essentially what they do is they list all the things that other organizations are doing, like all the MRCs and stuff, the Wood Canal Coordinating Council and that sort of thing. Personally, it's a waste of money, but so all those things, you gotta, you know, when they meet, you gotta play their, be at the table and play in their game, because otherwise, you know, foreign interests
fall by the wayside.
So as needed. RCO, I still sit on that committee. That's the grant committee for both rounds. And they meet annually, twice a year. Tri-Area Sewer Advisory Group, let's take that one off. That hasn't met all year long.
2 years.
The Shoreline Advisory Group, take that one off. They're not meeting anymore with the SMPB,
Jefferson?
Oh, we're not on the board anymore.
No, no, I see.
We used to be, just to hold down a board position. WAMA, we're still active in that. Still active in the Voting Alliance. It's supposed to be there tomorrow, but I can't make it. Washington Finance Officers Association. Are you a member of that?
Not yet, no.
We'll take a look at that one.
We're dying at all the free martinis.
Oh, yeah?
Should I do that on there?
I think until we find out.
Yeah. The Aviation Committee, Jim's been sitting, you know, a lot of these WPPA things actually occur at the spring and the winter meeting, so it's not
right.
Something extra really that we go to. Take the Board of Trustees off. I'm no longer on the Board of Trustees. That was this last year. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
No, we have to.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we are.
That's the meeting.
Yeah. And that's something this afternoon we need to revalidate if you want me to still be the primary and Dave to be the alternate. Because whoever signs up for this has to stay for that Friday morning meeting.
Right.
In the spring and in the winter to vote on behalf of Port of Port Townsend. You know, these others, the Economic Development Committee, Environmental Committee, Finance, Legislation, Marina Committee, these, we've all always participated in these. I don't know if we need to really, finance, and admin, you know, we probably ought to be the, you know, one for that. Because that one, they do have annually a separate meeting somewhere in the state, of all the finance directors. I guess any of you guys want to be the primary? I've been the primary on the Marina Committee. And I always go to the legislative, but again, that's a May and December thing during the big meeting. The only other one that's really separate would be the Environmental Committee. John Collins used to go to that. I used to go to it as well.
You know, I went to it this year, but if you don't have to be assigned, you can just go, can't you?
Yeah, yeah. That just leaves those blank. And that's all I know of for formal committees. Anybody got anything else that you need?
Is he going to say presentations or do I need to say something?
It'll say, and after the meeting, if you want, I can go for a couple of speeches you should know about on this program.
Great.
Yeah, thanks. So that closes out the committee assignments. So the next agenda item for the workshop is discussion on the new mortgage agreement.
Right, and this, as you know, we've had two vessels sink here in the last 4 weeks, essentially. Mm-hmm. One in December and then one just last week. And we've been talking about, you know, how do we handle, you know, vessels without insurance and how do we recoup our costs and damages and that sort of thing. So we've been working on some new words for mortgage agreements. We've got some draft language and everything, but Eric, you want to kind of bring us up to date on our concerns? And
I think we want to separate two between a nightly guest.
That's the big issue.
Tenant. We're not really talking about any permanent changes, right? Permanent tenants.
Maybe we can just provide a brief overview. Right now, the mortgage tenancy agreement that we have, the standard agreement, only applies to permanent month-to-month tenants. So if you're a guest temporary, still month-to-month, but a different rate, higher rate, you're not required to sign that agreement. Similarly, if you're an overnight guest, which we currently don't have any time limit on, you're not required to sign an agreement. You basically, you know, fill out a form when you come in and put it in the payment box or provide it to mortgage staff. What that means in effect is that neither the guest temporary nor the overnight basically signing anything that grants authorization to the board to act in an emergency situation, to stop an emergency from happening, raise a vessel or whatever, nor are they expressly holding us harmless for any actions we may take in such an emergency situation. So what we're proposing, I think, at this point is a couple of things. Number one is to set, just kind of at a staff level, a definitive time limit on how long you can be an overnight guest. And I think discussions with Murray's staff, Chuck in particular, suggest that 14 days would be an appropriate limit, and that I think dovetail, I think, with the RVs during the summer. So we don't want to give them too many, time periods to track.
Wouldn't it be better, Eric, to have them be responsible for whatever damages that their presence created?
Well, I'll get to that. So just first of all, defining the terms. And to define the terms, we would, right now, the only thing that differentiates these categories are the rates and whether or not you're required to sign an agreement at all. So it's only the permanents with the lowest rate that sign an agreement. What we're suggesting is that for overnight guests, there, in addition to the rate difference, there be a time limit placed on it, and that they sign basically a license agreement that would be part of kind of the check-in form. It would be built into the envelope that they put the money into and drop off either with Moorage staff or, if they're after hours, put in the drop box, that would provide this emergency authorization as well as the hold harmless provisions and obligate them to abide by port rules and regulations. And then, secondly, that we have the guest monthlies also sign basically the mortgage agreement that we presently have, which includes that language already.
But I mean, even someone that's here for one night, if they signed anything or agreed to come here and pay, that would be part of the agreement. That
correct.
Would be, that we would be held harmless.
Correct.
And that they would be liable for any costs.
Exactly. Big issue is insurance. Somebody coming here for a night can't prove to us they have insurance.
No, they don't have to prove it. If they sign the thing, they...
Yeah, but they have nothing.
Agreed
and
to.
A lot of our tenants come in, boat sinks, they leave the boat, abandon it. They can say they're liable, but we have no way of getting... So what we're trying to do is close that loophole to say, if you stay more than 14 days, you need to provide insurance. You need to give us insurance.
But still, the nightly needs to, even though he might not have insurance,
right.
We'll have the same, they'll help us in court.
So just to be clear, what that means in effect is you can still have deadbeat overnighters.
Yeah.
With a vessel that sinks, and even though they've signed this, and we're going to bill them, and they've agreed to hold us harmless for any damage to gear or tackle or whatever that may happen during an emergency operation, they may, in fact, be judgment-proof. Without providing us proof of insurance, they may have no assets to go after. But we're at least going to have them signing something, and if they are not judgment-proof, we'll have a means, with or without insurance, if they have assets to get at them.
So the two boats that sank both came in as nightly guests, and then they just stayed for a few months. The last one was 4 months they've been. That basically has allowed them to stay without insurance, without anything. That's a hole in our policy. We're trying to close that hole. I still think we're going to get stuck with one of these boats. And we're into it. How much now? 14,000?
The first one?
Yeah.
It's about 14, which...
The boat's not worth 14,000 bucks. So
it's a tribal boat?
Yeah.
However, she did call yesterday to want to work out a payment plan, but that would be against our hard and fast policy of no cash, no splash.
It'd be nice if...
she wants to start a payment plan and then take the boat away?
Yeah. Don't take the vote away as fish to get money.
Tribal council or the owner or the owner. Or the council?
The owner.
So we're just trying to close that loophole, but I think the hard part is going to be for the commission policy that says on day 15, you're either out of the marina or you provide us insurance. And that's going to be a hard decision for us to make, because this new policy would say you can stay for 14 days on a nightly without insurance, but on day 15, you've got to provide us insurance to stay.
As only liability insurance. We don't care, you know, if you get reimbursed for the loss of your boat. We're concerned about the liability to us, to the next boat over. You know, should you, you know, your incident damages that boat, you know, it damages our facilities, staff time, all that stuff. So in liability insurance, talking to Tammy and Chuck, policy depends on the amount, it's not very much.
But you have to have a survey.
But you got to get your boat
survey. Most boats won't pass a survey, and that's the issue. A lot of these boats we're talking about won't pass.
Now, we would accept posting a bond, though. You know, if you don't have insurance, then you post a bond, and we'll take that.
If they don't have insurance, so I've never had to post a bond. Is that less expensive than getting insurance?
$14,000 liability, and you can cover it with a $60 policy. I think I go policy.
Yeah. If your boat can be surveyed and pass the survey.
Can you get a bond on a boat that won't pass the survey?
I don't know.
But what about enforcement, you guys? For us to enforce that 14-day rule?
Well, we can enforce that. That's an easy.
Then you got to back us up when we tell the guy on day 15, you're out of here.
Or provide insurance. We have monthly guests that have actually been here for 2 years. So this isn't something that's, because we have a waiting list, a lot of people get on the monthly guests, and they'll just stay as monthly guests. So there are people long-term that don't give us insurance, but they're here.
And we made some money on that because they're probably paying a higher rate than they would at the permanent. Still,
yeah. Well, I think that requiring insurance shouldn't be that big of a deal. I think we just need to put it in there. And then those people that are sitting here for 2 years on the monthly rate could still stay here, and we sleep better too.
Now, this might resolve itself, although I think it's going to be a hard fight in Olympia. That is one of the items on the table, because the derelict vessel thing up in Penn Cove, where that large vessel sunk with no insurance and damaged the shellfish beds and everything else, causing a lot of damage. A lot of the legislators finally listened to us that all vessels, we're not talking about kayaks and stuff, but, you know, well, certainly, you know, define what that minimal size vessel is, need to have insurance. If it's a state requirement, that helps us a lot. But if somebody can't get insurance, I would argue that probably really don't want that boat in our marina anyway.
And the problem is going to get nothing but worse as the environmental restrictions continue to tighten. So
one of the big holes we had nightly is we had no authority to board vessels. And the first boat that went down, she lived in Kingston. We couldn't get a hold of her. The boat was on the bottom. And we actually rose it and boarded it. But actually illegally, we didn't have their permission to do that. We want to make sure this new agreement that they signed says, if there's an emergency, we have the authority to raise it, get it out
to
the water.
To take whatever actions we deem necessary to protect our interests as well as the interests of other voters.
Now, we have that in our permanent mortgage agreement. Already has that.
And that's something you nightly, you know, somebody here at Point Hudson coming in on a Friday night needs to sign. Giving us that authority, or acknowledging that we have that authority. We won't have time to be running up and down Water Street looking for a boat owner.
Yeah, there's kind of two issues here. We need to have the ability to board the vessel and take proper actions on everybody that comes into the marina, everything. And then this 14-day insurance rule is we're actually giving them a grace period on that to preserve our overnight moorage situation.
Man. So it'll really just be two documents.
Mm-hmm. However, after talking about this and its commission decision, but I actually think we should have a meeting with Phil Andrus and the board's tenant chief.
many permanent guest margins people are we talking about?
I don't know. I'd have to check exactly how many.
No, it wouldn't be the permanent.
It's all the people who've been a monthly guest. It could affect some. You remember when we tried to pick that one guy that was on a monthly, and everybody came out of the woodwork complaining because he had been here so long, he was thought of as a permanent. So I personally think we should call Phil and at least run it by him by email, nothing else, so the group can have some input.
And we got, from an administrative, with the new nightly, we got a format to where it can be an envelope.
Right.
So somebody coming in after hours can sign it and put their check in it and drop it in the box and all that. We're adding a few more words than what we had in the old agreement, so.
Yeah, I think it's necessary. These two most recent sinkings have brought that to our attention.
Now, the second guy, the one that just happened last week, he had no insurance, but everybody feels pretty good that he's going to step up and reimburse it. I don't have the full cost yet, but it's going to be somewhere probably, certainly between $5,000 and $10,000.
Did you guys get the new materials for the abatement stuff?
Some of it. Some of it's going to, typical order time, so. So, anything else on that one? That's all we had on the agenda, unless you want to talk about anything else. This afternoon, we need a decision. You all know that Fish and Wildlife sent us an email on Monday stating that they want to move forward with negotiating for all of this space, entire building minus the customs.
Mm-hmm.
And so staff needs, a formal motion for us to enter those negotiations and move ahead. Eric's already done some legwork with the city. Rick Sepler and Judy Server went down and went by the Marine Exchange and declared it local word.
A piece of excrement, I
believe. Right. We won't say it on the recording, but it's not a historic preservable building.
Oh, they agreed to that? The historical
in their opinion. So
what should we put that
new business?
New business?
Now I went down, Bob Ray wasn't in yesterday. It's the two times I went by this place. He did.
Okay.
Yeah, he had told us verbally that he would be out by the end of March. Which is fine. That timing is good. But we do need to get on with the permitting and get that process, because we need to get to the point where we can go out for bids, which will take 2 or 3 weeks, and then select the contractor and get this thing moving if we're all on board.
So if we go ahead with that new billing, the preliminary estimates that I've heard from Larry are a million bucks.
Well, we want to keep it under 4,000 square feet, which will keep us under the SEPA, combined with the fact that we're outside the 200-foot limit. The sheet that you're getting right now is just a quick down and dirty assessment yesterday. It's not just getting new rent, it's the fact that we're losing rent by displacing tenants. So Gene got me the numbers. Marine Exchange, this is all without leasehold tax. Marine Exchange is giving payments a little over 600 right now. In this building upstairs, the international educators are just over 1,000. Dave Robeson, 300. And Colette, who's a recent tenant upstairs, another 300. So those leases would all go away to the tune of $2,200 a month that we're getting now. But that would be offset with $3,500 from the customs and about $8,000 from Department of Fish and Wildlife. Now we're in negotiation that $8,000 may change a little bit, but that totals a little over $11,000. And if you subtract the $2,200 up above from the $11,000, You've got 9,300 and change to cover any debt service. And we estimated $200 a square foot for $800,000 to build the building. But like any construction project, and one of the things we talked about yesterday, we're going to have to upgrade the transformer, and there's going to be some other costs, so we figured $1 million. And Amy said 3.5%, you'd be looking at a monthly payment debt service of $5,600. And so at the end, you'd roughly have almost $50,000 a year in new revenue that we don't have today, and a new building.
So where would we borrow the money from?
Well, that's the state. We're kind of about a cycle on the state, and I'm not sure. Amy checked with the state. Why don't you do the same thing?
I talked to the state treasurer. I could start talking to them in March, but they wouldn't hand out any money until August, which is a little late. I do have a call into Union Bank. She was doing some checking and running it up her flagpole a little more. So she said as soon as she would get back to me, and then it looked like we could sit down with them and get some numbers as well.
Hmm. It's really not enough money to bond. By the time you paid your bonding costs, it wouldn't make sense. So it's too little money.
And we do have enough money in reserves if we wanted to buy that, whatever the amount we borrowed was, $800,000 or $1 million, if we wanted to buy it down by a couple $100,000. Because with us making almost $50,000 a year, we could just say we're going to take that and replenish what we're borrowing, so make yourselves whole very quickly.
I'm curious to see what the public reaction to this move is going to be.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. It's good for the state. It's going to save them money. It's bringing 24 new jobs into Port Townsend.
Twenty new jobs.
With Fish and Wildlife. They're bringing their enforcement people in as well. It's going to actually bring more than that, because they hold meetings and bring other people in. So you're going to have some transient activity, restaurants and hotels and everything. It's good for us. It gets us back down at the boat haven, which everybody said we should be.
Out of the Taj Mahal.
And we're going to build a very simple metal structure that will kind of fit in with the boat haven ambiance. Dirt floors.
I'm glad I'm upstairs.
Right. So, we're making money on it that will put back into reserves.
Well, you don't really have much problem convincing me.
I know, I'm just trying to run through all the... So after all those positives, I'm sure somebody's going to come out and is livid that we're doing this.
I've already heard it. That's why I say that.
Yeah.
I mean, the comments that I heard were, well, you know as well as I do that construction project's going to run over, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, why are you doing this in a down economy? Well, because the interest rate's so low, you idiot.
Well, that's an inappropriate response to our constituency.
One thing I'm thinking about is you just mentioned all that Ostalek is a new tenant. We have a lease with her that's going to have
all these are month.
Okay. So with that in mind, we've got, I don't know how much room the International Bank takes up. I didn't know they were there. And then
they got the two big front offices and then a small office down the hall.
What I'm thinking is that we could perhaps include in this, since we're going to have some displaced folks looking for a place to stay, we've got the building down at the end of this row here with some offices that are just shells of offices and some restrooms and so forth. But I saw a plan at one point to redo that building. We could make some offices there, and then instead of, say, go out and find a place to stay, we could say, here, go down here. And then we wouldn't be losing quite so much of our income. We'd get another better facility out of the deal, too.
Yeah, the estimates to redo the Shanghai building to make it habitable is over $250,000. So to spend $250,000 and get $2,000 a month, that'd be really hard.
That was for redoing the whole thing with the new conference room and all that kind of stuff, which I don't think we need to do that. We could just do the offices, you know, the ones like...
Most of those offices are rented, aren't they? So there's only one.
No, there's two of them, I think. They're not.
one or two.
Did you ever sat in there for an hour, any of those?
Yeah, it was in there for a little one. That biologist lady.
Biologist still there.
Has one. And then there's one right across from her that is this kind of room that they all kind of use occasionally. That's empty. And then there's two behind there that are like right now just holding filing stuff, apparently.
That's our archives.
Yeah.
And then we have another wing too that has 10.
Yeah.
Right. And what I'm getting at is that we have some facilities that might not take that
not
much
for all these.
For some of them, perhaps.
One of the reasons people like this building is because it's this building. This building was remodeled very well. Mm. And to bring that up to this, we spent $1.1 million, $1.2 million on this building. Bring those up to this would be just with the heat and the insulation and everything else. But certainly we can look at that. I have a feeling. Jan Davis, international educator, was going to leave anyway. So that's why they went on a month. They had a 5-year lease that expired. They went to one.
But those are kind of the rough numbers right there. But we just need direction this afternoon if you want us to press forward or not.
Right. And then when we do apply for the building permits, I think it would be who was to press release in it. Announce our intentions, just so we can address any.
Early on address
issues that come up.
I think it's a pretty easy, defendable.
I'm going to decide on the total cost. I mean, one thing that we haven't talked about are the streetscape improvements on the Jefferson side that the city has made clear they would. Under the engineering and design standards, so it's not just the cost of the building alone.
It's the sidewalk and the
sidewalk to nowhere.
Well, the architect permitting the fees and everything else are going to run
$1,000.
Well, at least it's not the $42,000 bucks. Some other projects were for the
and it might be able to, you know, we've been under pressure for over a year now. Well, to allow WSU to do a demonstration project for a rain guard. And it'd be very easy to incorporate a small rain guard as part of the drainage around the building down there.
Do they make rain gardens that take paint chips too?
You know, it's really low.
I mean, it is low there, yeah.
Extreme high tide, that corner of is. With water.
Yeah.
And I think the elevation.
We need to regrade the whole site before we start construction. And if you listen to Eric, we need to regrade it about 4 feet higher than it is.
I wouldn't be surprised. up to Jennifer. Because it's low there. It comes off.
What about the street out in front of the gas station there? That's like a real bad.
Yeah, that's the one. The one in the water building.
Yeah.
Corey Ossie thinks he has that fixed. Most of the runoff came from the city, he says, and he made them put a check valve in there.
Ah.
So he thinks most of that was salt.
It
was salt.
Supposedly, John Merchant and the Larry Ossie have worked together fixing it. We'll see the next rainstorm.
Well, yeah. We'll also see Monday is the highest time of the year.
Monday?
Now, what was this that gets wet?
Between the Safeway gas station and the Green Salvage there.
So the whole street there is actually in the Benedict.
You know, Steve, come on down to the port once in a while.
I go there a lot. I never go on that street.
The other thing, this will give us an opportunity. I know, Dave, you and I were down there one night. I hit it. But since we're going to have to redo the power in that immediate area, take down the power pole, the transformer.
Oh, you hit it with a sailboat?
Yeah, well, one of those boat ramp sailboats, you know, actually, where you put your mast up.
The aluminum mast hit it, so much sparks came out, it set a fire.
Started a fire at the Marine City. Started the grass on fire. Yeah. Burned a hole right through the mast. That's happened twice since I've been here.
Yeah, it was in the paper once, I remember.
So we should be able to clean that up as part of the project, too.
Another benefit that we haven't talked about is. One that I think the Wazoo Extension folks are excited about is just the kind of the So synergy, I hesitate that word.
I know.
But yeah. The word between the two organizations, I think they're excited at the potential to be essentially co-located.
Well, that should be in our press release for sure.
Well, the customs too, all three of them.
Yeah, because CFW enforcement works with customs. So yeah, we need to play all that up into a nice press release.
The other thing that isn't in this number is there's 230-foot slips year-round.
I was going to ask that. There's more revenue.
Here at Point Hudson.
Full-time, 30-foot subsidy enforcement boats, full-time. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's WDFW enforcement.
Yeah.
Is there a Coast Guard, customs?
Yeah, they don't have, they're not going to bring their That's the green guys, not the blue guys.
Yeah, the fisheries boats, but we need those. Those fishermen out there.
Those fishermen are out of hand.
Those fishermen,
out here, but that's right.
Yes.
Illegally.
Who knows what they're
All right, well, that's about all we got.
Well, then this workshop is officially adjourned.
1 o'clock.